Welcome to the Donna Sebo Show. Donna is an international mental practitioner, award-winning author, counselor, speaker, teacher, and radio TV personality. Dedicated to empowering others through her mental skills, she also features authors and experts from all over the world to share their knowledge and experience with you, the listening audience. Now, let's join Donna and her guests. Here's Donna.
Hi. Welcome to an hour of mind power. This is Donna Sebo, and today, can you imagine? We're going to be talking about food. And so many of you are going to say, food, Donna, my God, during the holiday seasons, we have so much food. Why are we going to be talking about it? Well, we're going to be coming from a different perspective. You know how I love to share recipes with you? Well, we're going to be talking about the A to Z Guide to Healing Foods. This is a book that you could use as a piece of reference material for yourself. If you've got certain physiological things or allergies, there's just so much information that my guest, Elise Marie Collins, has put together in this wonderful, wonderfully, efficiently organized book regarding healing foods. Elise, I want to welcome you to the show.
Thank you very much, Donna.
Now, I really was impressed with how well organized your material was, and also the fact that it's so easy to put this, put the material and your thoughts together, and it's such an easy, easy read. I want my listeners to know that you are a yoga teacher. You obviously love to write, and you've also been involved with counseling, and you really have an attitude about wellness. What was it for you that created this stimulus where you felt like you really wanted to, one, educate yourself, but two, to also let people know the options that they have to work with regarding food?
Well, I think that each person is unique, and that is also affirmed in many ancient philosophies like Ayurveda, Chinese medicine, and yoga. So we each need different things. And so there's not maybe one prescriptive diet for all. I personally love to shop for healing foods, cook healing foods, or serve them raw.
Mm-hmm.
And I enjoy the process of research as well. So I wanted to share with my audience, readers, yoga students, an easy but non-judgmental guide to healing foods so that people don't feel like, I have to do this or I have to do that, but they feel inspired to choose foods that would be good for them and may benefit their health.
I liked a couple of the points that you bring out right in the beginning of your book in your introduction is one that food is very much like a medicine. It's a healing factor in our lives. And different things serve the body very, very well. It's sort of like the old chicken soup story that people say, that's an old wives' tale. Well, they're finding out scientifically now, which makes me laugh, that chicken soup really is very good when somebody has a cold or, there are nutrients in it that are very, very beneficial for the body that has the fever and is not feeling well. And it gives nourishment to the body at the same time that it doesn't overtax it because it's trying to get well. You want the body to heal as quickly as possible. So you have these things that finally science is catching up with, and they're saying, gee, this is not a myth, it's actually true. But I was fascinated with some of the points that you brought out. One, that Native Americans administered chocolate instead of Tylenol to break a fever. And I just loved that one. I thought, that's cool, I'll take that anytime.
Yeah.
And ancient Greeks used carrots instead of Zantac to soothe their stomach ailments, and among the Aztecs, they had a high respect for avocados. Listen to this one, folks. It was considered an aphrodisiac. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay, so a lot of people may be running out to the store shortly to buy some avocados. But seriously, what I'm looking at are all of these little points of information that you scatter throughout the book that I think are really interesting. When you were doing your research, what sources did you use?
Well, the first thing I did was, for each food, And some are, most are plant foods, but they're all sea vegetables, fruits, vegetables, nuts. I would actually tap into whatever I was going to write about. So I would either have that food in front of me or think about that food. And I tried to look at each food that I wrote about as almost a personality.
Mm-hmm.
And that is the way foods and herbs are thought of in Ayurveda. Each food has unique essential essence. So I would look at the science and I would look at what was unique about this food. And that's how I wrote about each one in particular. Taking as much time as I could, but as you must know, I couldn't write forever. I would love to continue writing. I could have made the book much, much longer, but I had to spend just a certain amount of time with each food.
Right, and that's what I liked about what you did. You did a very nice job of condensing the information into an effective format. So it's for the layperson to use, and I think it's great, and it's a wonderful place to begin. Now, you go alphabetically, A, B, C, D, E, F, G, so on and so forth, and I want to pull out a couple of items as we are going through our chat today, because some of these I have never heard of. And it's like ajwain, you have it, A-J-W-A-I-N.
Mm-hmm.
Now, this is a seed. I have never heard of this seed, and it's not a big surprise, but in Indian kitchens, it is used how?
It's used often with samosas. Many people may not have tried samosas, which are the little potato sort of fritters, the fried Indian food, very common spice for that. But they're also in the digestive mix with their little sweet candies, and ajwain is sometimes served after an Indian meal.
Oh.
To help with digestion.
Well, you give a few points like that about each of the foods that you have itemized here, but I thought that bringing forth some odd ones that we have not heard about is very important. Now, there is a food, alfalfa, and alfalfa has been known for a long, long time for tremendous nutritional benefits, and animals will just love alfalfa. But what's so fascinating about alfalfa is that the root system can be 15 feet deep or more. And they are rich, alfalfa is rich in minerals, and it gets it from whatever is around in the soil. And it's just a phenomenal nutrient. But you said add dried or fresh alfalfa to boiled water for a nutrient-rich tea.
Mm-hmm.
I had never considered it, you know, as something you could just put in a tea.
Makes a great tea, and of course, alfalfa has that rich earth energy from those deep roots.
You bring up the fact, too, that if there are women that are pregnant and if they're nursing, if they take alfalfa, it really helps their calcium level and also their mineral level. So it's going to benefit nursing mothers in a wonderful, wonderful way, as well as anybody else. I've been using alfalfa for a number of years, so I know how nutrient-rich it really is. Let's move along to another food in your alphabet. Before we do that, I want to bring up some of the information you have here. You say the top 12 most contaminated fruits and vegetables are peaches, apples, bell peppers, celery, nectarines, cherries, strawberries, lettuce, grapes, pears, spinach, and potatoes. And the 12 least contaminated fruits and vegetables are asparagus, avocados, bananas, broccoli, cauliflower, corn, kiwi, mangoes, onions, and papaya. Now, I'm fascinated. You talk about spinach being one of those foods that can be highly contaminated. Broccoli and cauliflower also are in the earth, as well as the onions. Why are they less contaminated?
That is a list that's put out by, it's a certain, it's it's a food watch group that puts it out. So it changes. So in my book, I'm looking for the website right now. It's important to continue to check that. I'm not exactly sure why broccoli is more contaminated. But you can check on the website that's in the book, and I know that it changes often because sometimes different agriculture ways of doing of spraying pesticides may change from different foods.
Well, I know that that is really a big issue, and that is something that's coming more and more to the forefront because of the fact that they are recognizing a lot of these elements that we have been using are contributing to a lot of physiological conditions that people are experiencing. It's affecting especially in certain environments, animals and children quite strongly. Okay, let's talk about the ORAC score, O-R-A-C. What that stands for, oxygen radical absorbance capacity.
Mm-hmm.
Now, let's talk about this because I don't know that my listeners have ever heard of an ORAC score. And why is that valuable, and who does it, and why is it necessary to know about that?
Because the ORAC score relates to free radical damage in the body. So when a food has a higher ORAC score, that means it helps to, it's almost, I think of the free radicals as like maybe a rowdy person on a dance floor, a rowdy person that's bouncing into you. So they quell those rowdy people that are in your body destroying your cells. So the higher ORAC score, then that, it's a way to measure antioxidants. So it's a scientific way to measure the free radical quelling or quieting, getting those free radicals, because they are just molecules that are bouncing around, and they're believed to cause aging.
We all have seen on television the ads about what they call the chia pets.
Yes.
And you have in here the chia seed, and you say that's what they use on these cute little sculptures that grow green, and they have them in all kinds of characterizations. The chia seed, I was really not familiar with, but when I read your material, you talked about them being rich in alpha linolenic acid, ALA. And they're finding with the ALA and some research that's being done that that is such a positive impact on the liver, especially if someone is having problems with the liver, it really helps that organ to regenerate itself. Chia was a food used by Aztec warriors. Tell us how you found out about that fascinating bit of information.
Well, one of my particular interests, as you might have guessed, is learning how the ancients used food, because that was prior to pharmaceuticals, how people supplemented their diet. There was no supplement industry. So when I found out, I looked into most of the ancient cultures, Mayan, Aztec, Indian, China, everything I could get my hands on. And yes, the Aztec warriors ate the chia seeds, and they also, I think the ancients were much more in tune with the sense and the feelings and the powers of each food. So they would recognize that the chia seeds gave them energy and that they could take that into battle when they needed energy most.
Now, you have an item called the dulse, D-U-L-S-E, and this you describe as a superfood. Why is it a superfood?
Dulse, it's a seaweed, it's a sea vegetable, and sea vegetables contain more essential minerals, even than alfalfa, more essential minerals than any other foods. So it's a superfood, I would call it that, but I wanted to point out for your listeners that there is no actual way to measure a superfood. I may have declared it a superfood in the book, but I do point out in my book that there's no government board that decides what a superfood is. So be aware that it's maybe my declaration. I believe it's a superfood. And a superfood, we can just say that it's a food with rich healing properties, more vitamins, more minerals, more of something that no other food provides. But sometimes that word is thrown about and not, it may not have meaning. So just be aware when someone calls something a superfood.
Now, what is interesting, ALA is also in emu oil.
Yes.
Now, I have a very interesting connection with that. I know of someone here in the Pacific Northwest who actually cultivates emus, and they are cultivated both for their meat as well as for the oils that they produce, and they have a ranch, I believe it's in the Chehalis area. And I had a chance to get to know this lady and to talk with her. And emu oil was just wonderful. And you talk about it having a powerful anti-inflammatory property, and that's what she said. But the Aboriginal people have utilized emu oil for centuries. And you go into a great deal of information regarding the emu oil. Now, emu meat is something that you don't hear very many people eating, or hear them talking about that. But the oil is something a lot of people still don't know very much about.
I agree, and I wish that it was available more, but it's a very powerful oil. I'll have to find out where your friend who has the farm is, so...
Yes, right up here in the Pacific Northwest. She's just a wonderful, wonderful gal. Now, let's move along to some other things, because, again, your book, The A to Z Guide to Healing Foods, I like what you've done giving all kinds of information about so many different items, many of them we're familiar with. But when I came across hemp, most of the time when you bring up the word hemp, you think of a rope, or people think somebody might smoke it. But it's a phenomenal product, and you acknowledge that it's illegal to produce and grow hemp in the United States, which I think is really ridiculous, but you say it's second only to soybeans in plant-based protein content, and it's one of nature's best sources of omega-3 and omega-6. So tell us, how is hemp utilized as a food?
The seeds are used, and as you pointed out, they contain none of the psychoactive THC compounds that are in the plant that people smoke. Hemp is incredibly high in protein and a balance of omega-3 and omega-6 oils that parallels it's similar to the balance that we have in our own bodies. And you can buy now in health food stores. Most of the hemp in the United States is produced in Canada. One thing about Canadian hemp is that the colder the climate where the hemp is grown, that actually brings out more of the healing omega-3 oils. So that's a good thing, even though we can't grow it here.
Oh, that's interesting.
Yeah, because when the plants are stressed by the cold, even all animals and plants, the colder the temperature, the more omega-3s in those foods.
And fascinating.
And the reason for that is because the omega-3, remember, when you put it in your freezer or refrigerator, it never hardens, as opposed to many oils. So if you think of those animals and plants, they need to have some liquid oil in their body, in their plant body, or fish or even animals need this omega-3, so they need that liquid oil in their body. And if just imagine a plant that had a saturated fat, it would be stuck and wouldn't be able to move. So that's why colder climates produce more of that omega-3 oil. So you can find hemp milk and hemp protein powder and hemp seeds in most health food stores.
And for people, if they're wanting to really watch their dietary regimen, if they're, let's say, bodybuilder or something like this, the hemp protein provides so much of what they need for all of that activity. But I would think overall, this is great. You could put a scoop of this in your smoothie, and we'll go into protein powders, some other protein powders that you give information on. But this, I thought, is not something that most people would even give a consideration to, because we have a preconceived mental box of what we think hemp is. So I think having this information is great. You also have Hijiki?
Hijiki, yes.
How is it pronounced again?
Hijiki.
Hijiki. Now, I've not heard of this. Obviously, this has to do with something Japanese. Is there a relationship to seaweed? What is it?
It is a seaweed. It's a little bit, for some people, it's a little bit more difficult to say palate than, I say, dulse, or many people like nori, that's the dried sheets of
mm-hmm.
seaweed that
mm-hmm.
you put around sushi, or in Koreans call it kim. Hijiki is a little, they almost look like little tiny noodles about an inch and a half long. So they're a little chewier as well. But they can be good in, I would recommend putting hijiki in soups.
Mm-hmm.
Japanese often serve hijiki with vegetables on the side in like in a plate. But again, it's sometimes that I would start, if you haven't ever tried seaweed, I'd try nori or dulse first, and then I'd say hijiki. But hijiki has some great benefits on its own. But just be aware, it's a little tougher than some of the other seaweeds.
But using it in a soup, that's a good idea. You bring up something that I remember Edgar Cayce talking about a long time ago, and that is eating with the seasons and eating foods that are grown locally. And you emphasize the Ayurveda, the Chinese and Tibetan diets. Say, eat what goes with the seasons and try to eat foods that are grown locally, which I think is very, very true. But, of course, there's a lot of places that there aren't a heck of a lot of local food. So in today's world, in many respects, we are very fortunate because of the variety of food that we have available to us all year round. And you go into some detail regarding that, which I think is just very informative. You bring out, again, some fascinating information, and one of them that I had the chuckle on was lettuce, because most people will say that your iceberg lettuce literally has very, very little value to it. However, you say, of course, the darker the lettuce is, the better it is, the greater the nutrient density. But iceberg lettuce, which most people think is a waste of time eating, contains choline
mm-hmm.
and romaine, has folic acid and vitamins A, B1, B2, and C, also magnesium and chromium. Romaine is superior to your iceberg lettuce. But there's just so many things that we're not aware of that we can take in, that we can eat, that have all of these nutritional benefits. And your book covers so much of it in such a wonderful, wonderful way. Now let's go back to the protein powder, because this is something that is really big on a lot of people's lists.
Mm-hmm.
And for almost a year now, protein powder has been something I've mixed with oatmeal. And to my dismay, I found that a lot of the protein powders that are on the market have all kinds of additives in them. And it was very disappointing to me, because I'm not one that likes soy, how many of them have such a high level of soy in them. So I'm more aware of some of the other protein powders. But let's talk about the protein powder, and then if we have time, I'd like to talk about soy, because I think there's a lot of ignorance about soy and the way we should take it in. But let's talk about the various protein powders.
There's many different types of protein powders. Soy, as you mentioned. Peas actually have a very high protein content. So there's some pea-based protein powders. Brown rice, hemp, which I recommend, whey, milk, and some egg protein powders. What I would recommend is using as least processed as possible, so closer to the whole foods, because the more you process that protein, the more denatured it is.
Mm-hmm. Now, let's go into the soy, information on the soy, because this is something I've talked with so many people about, and this is my bias, and if I'm wrong, correct me.
Mm-hmm.
This is not something you're supposed to eat in large quantities. It has a very direct effect on estrogen levels, and it's not something in the Asian cultures that they're eating buckets of. They learned that they had to ferment the soy, and they learned this thousands of years ago. So they have used soy as more or less as a condiment. This isn't a main thing of their diet. And you give some very good information about this. What do we need to know regarding soy here in the United States?
I would agree with you, Donna. Fermented soy products, I believe, are the healthiest. That fermentation, it's a traditional process, and it helps with some of the isoflavones that are in soy, and they mimic estrogen activity in the body. So when you ferment the soy, it doesn't have as much of those properties. I also think that a lot of the soy that people eat in their diets may be very processed soy. As you mentioned before, the soy protein powders, and soy also is one of the foods that is genetically modified. So always check and make sure that your whatever soy products that you use, first off, are organic. They won't say non-GMO. They may say non-GMO, excuse me, but they won't say that they are genetically modified. So reduce soy. Soy shouldn't be the main protein, as far as I'm concerned. And take less processed soy, and perhaps think of reducing your processed soy.
Mm-hmm. Yes, I agree with that. The side effects from the soy, it's quite amazing. And when, you know, there's just something about us, I think, especially in America, when we hear about something, we think there's just a magic bullet with, wow, this is going to fix everything. No, we need to understand that more and more information is coming out about this. And I learned about this on a personal level, and so I try to stay very attentive to it. But you look at so many products, and you will find soy in a lot of them, and they don't need to be there. But it's been incorporated on so many levels, we're getting actually far more than what we really should have. And so I agree with you, you know, on the not having it processed. Try to be aware of how you eat it. Become educated about it. Don't just take our word for it. Go ahead and check it out. Find out what you need to know. Because so often things will come along and people say, oh, this is the greatest thing since chocolate cake, and this is what we need to do. And then everybody goes out and does this. And, well, that's nice. It makes some people very happy financially. But the truth is, it's not the best thing for the body. And I was reading something the other day saying, oh, that's not true, blah, blah, blah. And I thought there has been so much information regarding this that has come out. And even the Asian community has said, you're not supposed to have all of this. This is not the way our culture has utilized it. So it's very interesting what we do. Well, I know, Elise, we are almost out of time here. Do you have a website where people can go and find out more? And again, your book is The A to Z Guide to Healing Foods, A Shopper's Companion. And I just love all the new things that I learned about this. I mean, it's just great. What's your website?
My website is chakratonics.com. And let me chakratonics.com. You can also follow me on Twitter, Thick Flavor on Twitter.
Okay, you'll have to repeat it because something bleeped.
Mystic Flavor on Twitter. You can follow me on Twitter as Mystic Flavor, MysticFlavor.
Okay, on Twitter. Well, there you've got it, and I'm so grateful for your being with us today, Elise. This is a wonderful book. I think the information you have in here, it's, again, done so well. You even have a listing of ailments in the back, vitamins and minerals that can assist people. There's all kinds of resource information, and she's got all kinds of websites that you can look at. She's got a bibliography. But it's always good, no matter what you get, to question, but start looking at your body as a living machine, and what can you do for yourself that can enhance your health and make your life much better physically than perhaps what you're experiencing at this time? The book A to Z Guide to Healing Foods, it's a good companion for you to have in your library and to share with friends. Elise Marie Collins, thank you so much for being my guest today.
Thank you.
This is Donna Sebo. We're taking a break. When we come back, we're going to have more good things to share, so stay with us.
Are you concerned about nutrition? Do you work hard to eat right, try to feed yourself and your family nutritious food? Well, you'll want to know about glyconutrients. What are they? These are sugars that are present in nature, however, we're not getting them in our food anymore. Scientific study is proving that these sugars are necessary for all cellular and immune system function. Over 20,000 studies are conducted each year on glycoforms alone. These are the sugar protein structure that line each and every cell of the body. 4 out of the last 8 Nobel Prizes in physiology have been awarded for research in the area of cellular communication and how these sugars work in the body. This is Donna Sebo. Every day I bring to you information that will empower and light up your life. I would like to invite you to visit my website, DelphiInternational.com, and find out more about these glyconutrients. That's DelphiInternational.com. Go to my website, go to the left side of the screen, tap on the button that says glyconutrients. MIT's Technology Review, February 2003, states that glycomics is one of the 10 emerging technologies that will change the world. Education is the key to advancement of understanding and making our lives better. Visit my site, DelphiInternational.com. Go to the left side of the screen and tap on the button that says glyconutrients. I know it'll make a difference for you, as it has for me.
Do you want to lose weight? Do you deal with diabetes, high blood pressure, osteoporosis, or chronic pain? Do you want to know one of Dr. Perricone's 7 secrets to beauty, health, and longevity? Do you have 15 minutes a day to look and feel better? Then let me introduce you to DTaP, the workout that works. For the beginner or expert exerciser, learn from physical training specialist Teresa Tapp how, in just 15 minutes a day, you can burn fat and sugar, build strong bones and muscles, and lose inches fast with no equipment or jumping. Visit the TTAP website, ttap.com, or call 1-800-342-0717 to learn how. That's TTAPP.com. We'll help you lose inches, look good, and feel fabulous at TTAP. 1-800-342-0717, ttap.com.
Hi, this is Donna. Welcome back. And here's our toll-free worldwide telephone number if you'd like to call in and chat with me today. It's 888-815-9756. That's 888-815-9756. And all I need from you is your first name or your initial. And, of course, I like to know where you're calling in from, what part of the country or the world. That's always interesting to me. And then, like I've always told you, just sit back, relax, let me tell you what I perceive, and then you're welcome to ask me a question about anything that you like. My goodness, we are going to be in a new year day after tomorrow. I don't know about you, but this year just seemed to go by in a blink. And I was talking with someone yesterday, and they were saying, I just can't believe that we've got a brand new year starting in. And I said, I know, isn't it amazing? And you just, it's when you have got things going on a regular basis and you have family and you've got friends and you've got business and you just are out there and you're just involved and you turn around and you go, this is one holiday out, okay, and then we got another one and you wonder, am I ever going to catch up with my own shadow? Trust me, you will one day. But I'll tell you what, it's so much better to really be busy and active, although we need to remember to take time for ourselves. And that is so hard in our cultural positioning today. I can remember hearing my grandparents talking about how they would just take certain time off, and they came from farming communities. And if you had a farm, especially if you had a whole bunch of animals, which I didn't know, ever know of any farm that did not have animals around it. That was a 24/7. You are constantly on duty, but there would be ways that they would take breaks. And sometimes Sunday was it. The women would get all the food together and ready, from what I was told, on Saturday, so that Sunday, if they went to church meetings, they didn't have to cook anything. Everything was set up on that Saturday so that they could sort of sit back and relax. Although I'll tell you, I've never known very many women at that time frame that were able to do exactly that, because it seems like you always had kids running around or something had to be done. Of course, in the farming community, there were always the animals to be taken care of, and again, it was 24/7. And I think we have replaced that, though we may not be out on farms, the majority of us. We have got computers that we're hooked up to. Are you spending like 2 or 3 hours a day just answering your email? I can raise my hand on that one sometimes. It's just amazing how the time will go, and you'll look at the clock and say, oh, I've got so much time, and then by the time you finish working, just on your emails, then you find, quite a bit of time has detached. So sometimes we have to prioritize. Sometimes we have to look at how we're going to want to use our time and maybe say we will not do certain things, but make time for exactly what we want to give our attention to. And sometimes that attention is ourselves. We need to make it all right to turn off the television, maybe, or to turn off the computer. Trust me, it'll be there when you want to go back. It's sort of like dust. It just seems to float around for a while, and maybe you've wiped it off, and within 24, 48 hours, it's going to be right back there again. And it's not going to go anywhere. Believe me, I had so many people tell me that for so many years, and I found that they're correct. So it's one of those things. Sometimes it's just good to shut down. And when you shut things down and you give yourself that time and space to recuperate, what you will discover is that you're going to get more done in less time. My husband had a boss that would take vacations frequently. And someone questioned him one day, how can you, as the CEO of a company, take so many vacations? And he said he got so much more done when he was rested. And, of course, he had a staff that was around him, but he said the same thing for his staff. He said, you need to take some time off. So when you take the time off, give time to yourself so that you can come back and feel more energized. And during the winter months, our body clocks also are telling us to slow down. Our body clocks are saying, hey, it's getting dark outside. You're supposed to sort of be in that relaxed mode. But we seem to be on this treadmill of activity many times, just with busyness. And it's a tough thing to turn it off. But try it once in a while. Maybe start out with just a couple hours a week. Just turn everything off. Just give time to yourself. I've known of people that would go to their local coffee shop cafe just to get away so that the kids weren't bothering them, the dogs or cats or ferrets or whatever they had weren't bothering them, and they could just maybe read for a couple of hours or write or do something. But they had to make a choice, and that's what we need to remember. We're coming into a new year, and that may be something that we'll talk about tomorrow, what we can do, what would be on your wish list. And by the way, tomorrow is the day of New Year's Eve, so we are going to be having an open mic hour tomorrow. So if you or a friend decide you want to call in, of course you can call in now at 888-815-9756, but tomorrow will be an open mic hour. But maybe that's one of the things that you need to put on your list, giving time to yourself. It's a wonderful gift, and sometimes it's good just to take a nap, so that you can rejuvenate your energies, feel good about who you are, and then really be at the top of your game, so to speak. I want to share a little bit of trivia with you. There was a Prague lawyer, Premsel Donat, who tried to sell what he claimed was the Czech president's hip joint on eBay in August of 2008. Now, can you imagine someone wanting to do something like that? I can't. I mean, it's just beyond me. He had gotten a bidding level of $40,000. Now, who is going to bid on something like that? Apparently, a lot of people did. Well, the police swooped in. because eBay has its own checking process, and they found out the joint was not, in fact, that of the president, Klaus, who had undergone a hip replacement operation 3 months earlier. It belonged to someone else. So here was a huckster figuring if people were dumb enough to buy into that, and he could make a killing on eBay. So this is something that was done overseas. But it's amazing what people will go after. And then I'll tell you what, I've got something in front of me, a picture in front of me that just... I think if anybody ever did this to me, I would be very unhappy with them. Edible organs. Now listen to this story. This that I have in front of me is, it looks like a prop from an old horror movie, but it's actually a cake. Yes. And it is, according to what the report is, an absolutely delicious cake that was painstakingly made to look like a bloody chest cavity. Now, this just blows me away. Just shows you that anything's fair game. It's called the thorax cake, and it was created by a woman, Barbara Jo, from San Jose, California, who absolutely loves horror films. And what they did, they made cakes of different flavors and filled them with raspberry, strawberry, kiwi, mango, and blueberry sauces. Now, this is how original they were. They designed this cake so when you sliced into it that these sausages would ooze out of it. I know, it's really gruesome. And this was held all together by a white chocolate rib cage before it was devoured by all the guests that were at a special party that she had. She has an annual party, and she came up with this. But I am telling you, it looks like a cadaver. I am not kidding you at all. It's just all of the organs and the rib cage. It is so well done that I think if I saw this on my table, I'd just go, oh, you've got to be kidding. And I don't think I could have eaten any of it. It's that grotesque and gruesome to look at. But it was a real hit at Barbara's party and apparently absolutely delicious. So you just never, ever know what people are going to come up with, or what they're going to ask for, or what they're going to hear. And then another interesting piece of trivia. There was a fellow that had a license plate, and he was Dominic. He lived in New Rochelle, New York, and he owned a car with a license plate 5V1732, which actually spelled out the exact date of his passing, May 17th, 1932. Odd information, a little bit of this, a little bit of that. Donna Sebo here. Give me a buzz if you'd like to chat, 888-815-9756. And what I want to say to you, give me a buzz if you would like to chat. And we are going to, after the break, I will give you information on some of the guests that are going to be coming up next week. Oh, by the way, how would you like to know about your 2010 horoscope? Okay, well, let me give you a couple. We'll start off with Aries. This winter, you have got wonderful, wonderful auspices. If you're looking for love in your life, by golly, you've got a good potential here all the way through to the 18th of January. You know, you've got a lot of long-term plans, but it seems like you're going to really have things fall into place. And pay attention to your dreams, because you may have some dreams that are going to give you some insights into what is coming in for you. So your psychic ability is developing. And during the spring, well, you are going to find that spring is going to begin one of the most fulfilling periods of the year for you. And during the summer, you know, you are going to find that your determination is going to enable you to achieve better health than ever before. And you're going to find that you really are ready to make a winning plan for your life. And in the fall, well, it looks like money is going to be moving forward quickly for you, because you are really going to be working with your budget, and you are going to be so disciplined this year, those of you under the sign of Aries, that you are going to be setting a precedent for yourself. And I want to say, go for it. You are going to be very pleased. Now, I know we're going to be going to break in just a few seconds. If I have the opportunity, I'll share some information about Taurus and Gemini. those signs, as well as some other information with you. So don't go away. We'll be back in just a moment. Don't forget you can give me a call, 888-815-9756. We're coming back in a moment.
Enter the magical world of God's kiss.
Johnny finds himself at the entrance to a large open valley, framed by high mountains rich in the brown-red colors of the earth. He stands in awe, even a little fearful of the mountain's great size. After all, he's just a little boy and not very tall.
God's Kiss is a beautifully illustrated children's book about a young boy's journey into a valley with children and animals from all over the world. They are gathering together to experience the wonder of love and beauty that will affect their lives forever. A talking book audio narrated by the author Donna Sebo accompanies this wonderful storybook, creating a special magic all of its own. This book package makes a wonderful gift for those special children in your life ages 3 to 10. God's Kiss book and talking book audio are only $19.95 plus shipping and handling, and the author Donna Sebo will autograph and personalize your book if you request it. Call 800-872-8852. You can also order through Donna Sebo's website, www.delphiinternational.com. That 800 number again, 872-8852.
Do you have a group, organization, or club that would like to have an interesting and dynamic speaker? Then you're going to want to have Donna speak to your group. She motivates audiences towards personal empowerment, giving them tools for their personal and professional success. If you would like Donna Sebo to bring a presentation to your next event, call Delphi International at 253-582-5604. That's 253-582-5604.
Hi, this is Donna. Give me a buzz if you'd like to chat. 888-815-9756. And don't forget, tomorrow I'm going to be on air. It's going to be an open mic day. And you can call in during the entire hour, but I'm going to be sharing a lot of suggestions for how you can do some positive things for the new year, giving some time to yourself, but also some other suggestions as well. Now, here's the lineup for next week. This is not yet posted up on BBS, but I should have it up before the first. But we're going to be talking about smoking 201 reasons to quit. Muriel Crawford is going to be my guest on Monday. And, of course, we all know the damage that smoking can do to people, and it's primarily because of the chemical composition of cigarettes and how, when you've been a heavy smoker, the effects are really very bad. We're going to talk about secondhand smoke. And I had a member of my family, my father, died from lung cancer, and specifically it was caused by the cigarettes that he smoked for so many years. Then Mary Claire O'Neill. We're going to be talking with her next Tuesday. Becoming what you want to see in the world is our topic. What a great way to start off the year. How do you want your life to express itself so that when you're living, you're being the best that you can be, what difference do you want to make? This is really significant. Then we're going to be talking about kids on Wednesday, strong kids, healthy kids. Frederick Hahn is going to be my guest, and this man has done a lot of research relative to wellness with children. And then the key of life, Randy Rogers is going to be our guest. Randy has written a very powerful story about his own personal journey and the discoveries that he's made. And then from the heart of love, Sammy Thompson. She is a delightful lady. She's a harpist, and we're going to be playing her music. And she has a wonderful, wonderful world-class guitarist that combined with her in studio to produce beautiful, beautiful music. So we'll be getting all of that next week and so much more. Gee, in the month of January, in the new year, we're going to be talking about extraterrestrials. We're going to be talking about statins, and we're going to talk about, oh, my goodness, how to give massage to horses and to dogs. And I mean, we've just got things all across the board. So be sure that you check on BBS for the upcoming guests that we have and share the information with your friends. And don't forget, the shows are archived. If you miss one and you think you would like to hear it, it's right there on the BBS website, and you will be able to listen to the programs that you're not able to hear perhaps during the day when you are working. So we've just got a wonderful lineup of guests. I wanted to, before I give the information on the horoscopes for Taurus and Gemini, I wanted to share some information about butter and margarine. And this is something I've known about for years. and I was well schooled on this a long time ago. But I, like so many people, really had an attitude about not having too much fat in the diet. And of course, as we mature, women need to be aware that the fat that you take in, depending on what kind of fat you have, really enables you to absorb certain nutrients from supplements. For example, you have the oil-based supplements and you have the water-based supplements. And if you don't have fat in your diet when you're taking these vitamins, they're not even going to be absorbed. So there's a lot of things that we need to be aware of, and changing our thinking about fats in the diet is very important. Now, margarine was originally manufactured to fatten turkeys. When it was killing the turkeys, the people who had put all the money into the research apparently wanted to be sure that they could utilize this, so they figured out what to do with this substance that they had come up with. It was a white substance with no food appeal, so they added yellow coloring and sold it to people to use in place of butter. Well, they've got lots of new flavorings, and there's a lot of stuff that's out there that makes us think that it's still okay, but the difference between butter and margarine is significant. Both of them have the same amount of calories. Butter is slightly, very slightly higher in saturated fats at 8 grams compared to 5 grams for margarine. But they have found in research that eating margarine can increase heart disease in women by 53% over eating the same amount of butter. Who did the research? Harvard Medical School did the research. Eating butter increases the absorption of many other nutrients in other foods. But it's also very important for vitamin supplements that you're taking. Butter has many nutritional benefits where margarine has only a few, and only because they are added. They have to add it to margarine. Butter tastes much better than margarine, and it can enhance the flavors of other foods, and that's a given. Butter has been around for centuries, where margarine has been around for less than 100 years. Now, margarine is very, very high in trans fatty acids. It triples the risk of coronary heart disease. It increases total cholesterol and LDL, which is that which you don't want real high, and lowers HDL, which you don't want lowered. And they found in research that increases the risk of cancers up to 5 times. It also, if you're a nursing mother, it lowers the quality of your breast milk, decreases immune response, decreases insulin response. But there's something else that's really very significant. Margarine is but one molecule away from being plastic. Now think about that. It's one molecule away from being plastic, and it shares 27 ingredients that we find in paint. So these are some suggestions. If you think what I'm saying is sort of silly, purchase a tub of margarine and leave it open in your garage or shaded area. Within a couple of days, you'll notice some things. Flies will not go near it. And it does not rot, and it doesn't smell differently because it has no nutritional value. Nothing will grow on it. Even those little itsy-bitsy microorganisms won't find a place to grow. The reason being is that it's almost plastic. And the suggestion was made by the person that sent this to me, would you melt your Tupperware and spread that on your toast? So it's so important for us to really pay attention to our foods. It really, really is important. And Betty had sent this to me from California, and I want to thank you very much for sending that, because I do know that that is true. Okay. For those of you under the sign of Taurus, here's your horoscope for 2010. This winter, especially January, you have got some good mojo working for you. And if you're wanting to be a part of a club or an organization, wow, you've got some open doors that were not available to you before. During the spring, there is going to be a wonderful loving environment between March 31st and April 25th. And if you're single, you may well find that this is going to be the time of year when you're going to meet someone that could be your soulmate. Also, during the summer, you are going to make new friends, and you are going to be so grateful for everything that goes on in your life. And when it comes to luck, you are going to find that the mojo again is working for you. Now, in the fall of 2010, you are going to start a journey, or take a journey that you will want to have wanted to take for a long time, and you are going to find that your sense of adventure is going to be quite strong. Gemini, during the winter, you are going to find that you must be true to your passions. Keep focused. so that you can see how you can achieve them. During the spring, you're going to have, well, you're really going to have to make time for yourself so that you can focus. And if you want to be creative, this is a great time. If you're going to take classes, do it during the spring so you get your momentum going. And during the summer, watch your dollars. You need to be attentive to how you budget, but more than that, you need to look at where you really want to spend your money because you want to have some savings put aside for some travel. And in the fall, you are going to find that it's time for you to really move forward with your career. And if you're willing to do it and pay attention to the disciplines necessary, it looks like you're going to be stepping up in the career environment. My goodness, this is Donna Sebo. We are out of time. Tomorrow we'll be on live open mic 815-9756 for the full hour tomorrow. And then on Friday, we'll have a pre-recorded show. Remember always, you're the master of your fate. You are the captain of your soul. Wherever you are, be safe, be happy, and be grateful, because this is a good life for you, and it's going to get even better. Talk to you tomorrow, right here on BBSRadio.com, Station 1. Have a fabulous, fabulous day and evening. Donna Sebo, talk to you tomorrow. Bye-bye.
You have been listening to The Donna Sebo Show. If you would like a copy of today's broadcast, send $10 to The Donna Sebo Show, P.O. Box 97272, Tacoma, Washington, 98497-0272. Be sure to put the date of the broadcast in your request. If you are not able to be a part of today's program, join Donna and her guests Monday through Friday, and she will be here to take your calls. Thank you for listening and being part of our program. Have a wonderful day.